you ever read Psalm 37, I don't know if you have or not, but if you're ever feeling down, if you ever feel like everybody's against you, if you ever feel like your spouse and your children and your boss man and people in church everywhere else is against you, you need to read Psalm 37. You need to read it, every verse, and take your time and make that one of your favorite verses. Psalm 37 and Psalm 51 are two of my favorites. Psalm 51 and Psalm 37. The other week I preached on what to do when you're attacked. But because of the things going on in the world today and news and society and all that, I kind of want to continue that thought, but it's really not going to be the same thing. I just want to talk to you a few minutes about what's happening and what we should do about it. What's happening and what we should do about it. And write that down. What's happening and what we should do about it, so Stephen Moore won't tell me I don't have titles on my sermons. Okay. You're still there. Okay. Okay. Sometimes I wonder, is he with me? Psalm 37, look at verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnashes upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Now, as far as I'm going to read, you read the whole chapter, it just continues on and on and on. But I wanted to stop there because I like that. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The Lord knows the end. Amen. All we see is now. Let's pray. I want you to think about what that says. This is a battle between wickedness and righteousness. But it's a battle not fought with swords and guns, it's with the Spirit. What do you do in the world we live in when the world attacks you? And it is. It's doing it. You may not understand it, but the world's attacking you right now. What do we do when your own government attacks you? And you don't see it, but it's going on right now. There's a new law being pushed in South Carolina, and it's in the name of defending people against hate speech and all that stuff. But there's a piece in there about religious intolerance. And what we believe is considered religious intolerance. And they're attacking. And what do you do when people you love attack you? For your righteousness. What do you do when friends fail you and turn around on you, like Judas did on the Lord himself? What do you do? What do you do? Well, I'll tell you what you don't do. In the garden, when the government attacked the Lord, Peter picked up the sword. I mean, John picked up, wasn't it Peter or John? Maybe. Peter picked up a sword and cut the man's ear off. Now, I wish some of y'all get your ear cut off because you ain't listening with it anyway. Well, what did Jesus tell him? Put that down. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword.
Yes.
Now, you ought to read the whole book. But we're just going to go through these first 13 verses. And I want you to see something. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. And don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about this. God's got it under control. There's no weapon formed against you that God didn't allow to come near you. And it can't harm you. He won't let it. So we'll not worry about it. And I'm probably worse than anybody, but being a pastor, you worry about what people think of you and what people say about you and things like that. But I had to learn, it probably took me 20 years to learn it. But I had to start just not worrying about what people said. Because it really doesn't matter what people say. What does God say? You know. And I've learned that if I worry about it, you're not the only one losing sleep. They ain't worried about it. They're just shooting off their mouth. And then by the time it got out of their mouth, an hour later, they done forgot about you. And here you are tossing, turning, worrying about who they talking to and what they saying. Don't worry about it. Don't fret. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. These people control our lives when they attack us. Our life. Now, they go about their life as usual. You're just another one on their hit list. That's all you are. But when they attack you, you get all worried about it and all upset, and you're trying to make people think differently and all that. The Bible says, don't worry about it because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't think just because they got a bigger crowd following them because they've talked bad about you that that makes them right and you wrong. It doesn't.
That's right.
It's always a broad way to hell. There's always a big crowd on the road to hell. It's always a narrow way to heaven, and few there be that find it. And we ain't real crowded on this road, so don't be envious of those people because they've got a bigger following than you do. People worry about that stuff on Facebook. I don't worry about it. I think I got 5,000 friends, 4,999, I don't know. I got 1,700 followers, 1,699 who I don't know. It really doesn't matter if they like me or they don't. They must. They followers. Our church now, our church Facebook page now has 8,000 people that follow it on our Facebook page. That ain't counting our website. And occasionally some little heathen will pop up and say something. Of course, I didn't learn where the delete button and block button is. And they'll rise up and say something. That used to upset me. It doesn't upset me anymore. I hadn't realized, look, there's a lot of people don't like what we do. So what do you do? Well, don't worry about it. Don't fret over it. Amen. And then I want you to look at verse 2. For they shall soon, underline that word soon, be cut down like the grass and wither as the herb. Their time's short. When you are doing right and people are attacking you and they're doing evil to you, don't let worry you because you know what? This too shall pass. They're not the first ones that did it, and they won't be the last ones that do it, and they come and go. People that dislike you, it's not you, it's who you believe on and who you're following and you're trying to live for. They don't like that, but they can't attack that because that's the written word of God. So instead, they attack you. But they're not going to last. They're not going to last. And their time's short, he says. I can't tell you. Now, I've been in ministry, I was saved in 78 and started preaching in 80. I was licensed in 81, ordained in 83, and that's longer than some of y'all been living. Feels like just yesterday. But I can't tell you how many people's come and gone through my ministry. I can't tell you how many of them came and turned against me. I mean, I was the greatest preacher in town. I was the greatest pastor ever lived. But then something happened. Something happened. And all of a sudden, I'm the low down, the sorriest thing to ever walk the earth. Amen. They don't care that the queer preacher uptown is marching in the gay parade. He's a good guy. Amen. LGBTQ, ain't that what it stands for? We used to say that and people got mad at us. Now they brag that they are. It don't matter that he did that, or the woman that thinks she's a man and she's got on man's clothes and a backward collar and she calls herself a bishop, don't seem to bother him what she says. But you go ahead and do right and I guarantee you, you'll make some enemies. You'll make some enemies. And they'll try to jump on your wagon with you for a little while, but when they find out your wagon goes straight and it makes no turns, they'll get off. And then they'll be against your wagon. But they won't last. They won't last. God will cut them off. Amen. I like that. Amen. Look at this. Well, what am I supposed to do? The government's against me. The world's against me. My old friends are against me. Some of my family's even against me. Some of my church members, my whoever, you know. What am I going to do? Verse 3, trust in the Lord. He's the one that saved you. He's the one that will keep you. And then look at that next part. Do good. Do good. Don't get even. God will do the fighting. You just do good. Go on and do what you're supposed to do. You say, I don't know what to do. Well, here's what you do when you don't know what to do. You do what you know. Now, you know what to do. You've been doing it. Go on and do it. Ignore those people. Do good to other people. Do good to the Lord. Let those people do whatever they want to do. And you just keep trusting the Lord and doing such stuff for Him and His people. And then, verse 3, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. In other words, God is going to take care of you. He'll supply your needs. He'll feed you. He'll give you who you need in your life. See, my problem's always been, I'm naive. And I make disciples of me instead of Him. And I think, boy, I can get this guy and I can help him and I can teach him some things. And boy, I tell you what, he's going to be something. When I should have said, Lord, you get him and you teach him some things. Instead, he began to follow me. And if you follow me long, there's going to be a time you ain't going to like me. Amen. And you... We know which road that one's on. Well, hey, not everybody agrees with everything all the time. If two of us agreed on everything, one of us would be useless. You ever seen those men out there trying to build that deck the other day? There's three of them with three attitudes. And the only humble one was Brother Crouch. No, I'm teasing. And then Rick come up and throwed his 2 cents worth in. Right there at the end. But we ought not make disciples of ourselves. We ought to make disciples of Christ. If you make them of you, they're going to turn on you. Because you'll never live up to their expectations. Amen? And so, look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight. Now look. I love my wife. I love my children. But nobody ever loved me like Jesus. Amen. And it ought not be a chore to love Him back. I ought to delight myself in the Lord, saying, just by the grace of God, I can even come to Him. Oh, delight myself, Brother Hallwood, in saying, if it wasn't for Him, I'd have nothing but sad songs to sing. And we'll find delight in Him. And by the way, if you do that, you'll lose the delight of the world. Amen. You won't like it, and it won't like you either. Right. Amen? Yeah. I'm afraid there's so many people delighting in the world that claim to be Christians, they're not delighting thyself in the Lord. Yeah. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, in our modern day English, we read that, and we think in our selfish, self-centered American way, that we're going to get anything we want. The TV evangelists will tell you that.
Yeah.
I've heard them say it. He'll give you the desire of your heart. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. And he better not give you the desire of your heart. What he does is he gives you the desires that he puts in your heart. That's the way you ought to read it. He puts the desires to love him, serve him, love others, win people to Christ, study the Word of God, live a holy life. He puts those desires in our life. Now, he don't do that to the wicked. That's why they're wicked. They're living for their own desires. See? Now, I have no desire to see anybody go to hell. That guy just hung himself Saturday. Wicked, vile, ungodly, reprobate. I wouldn't wish hell on him, though I have very strong suspicions he's there now. If anybody deserved it, certainly he deserved hell. But I wouldn't want him to go to hell. I wouldn't want anybody to go to hell. If you believe in the hell of the Bible, you don't want your worst enemy to go to hell. So I wouldn't delight in people going to hell. And I wouldn't delight in other Christians failing just because they don't like me.
Amen.
No, I want everybody to prosper. And he puts the delights in your heart to where you don't have those kind of delights. Your delight is in him and the ways of the Lord. Now, if you'll do good, if you'll trust him and commit your way to him, and then you'll do good, then he'll put his desires and make them your desires in your heart. What did Isaiah say? He took out my stony heart and gave me a fleshy heart. Give me a fleshy heart. Took out that stony heart. And God made my heart into what he wants it to be. And then he said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? You won't have to fret. You won't have to worry. You won't have to defend yourself. You won't have to get mad at people and attack them because they attacked you. You just go on. You do right. You trust him. You commit your way to the Lord. And let him bring to pass what needs to be done with that crowd.
Amen.
I'm not carrying those stinking signs. I'm not in a protest march. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give it to him. Help me. I know we all ought to be involved in in organizations that's trying to reach the world, but we're not actually fighting these people in the world. They're not our enemies. We're their enemies. I don't hate Muslims. I love them. I don't hate Hindus. I love Hindus. I don't hate homosexuals. I love homosexuals. And I love them so much that I want them to be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm not looking for a hit list. I've known preachers had a hit list. Yeah. That mean they wanted to, that mean they were going to kill them. But that hit list, I had a preacher from York one time call me and he said, Pastor, I've got this hit list of church members I'm getting rid of. I just want to let you know in case they come down there to your church. Some of them did. Took me a long time to figure out why I had them on the list. But he had a hit list. I'm not making a hit list. Let God take care of them. Amen. The battle's not mine. It's the Lord's. They're fighting me and accusing me because of him. Let him fix it.
Amen.
Amen. He shall bring it to forth. Verse 6, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. When they call you self-righteous, don't defend yourself. Just be righteous. When they say you're judging, don't defend yourself. Just keep on judging right from wrong. Because they are right. We are judgmental. And we're supposed to make righteous judgments. And we're supposed to judge evil from good. And we're supposed to judge right from wrong. and salvation from lostness. We're supposed to judge these things. And so when they say you're judgmental, say, yeah, I am. When my kids was growing up, I made some judgments. My kids couldn't go spend the night with some people. Yeah. I made that judgment. I wasn't afraid of it. When my kids were growing up, I made some righteous judgments, what they could watch on TV and listen to on the radio. And I don't think it hurt them. There's one of them. She looks pretty. She probably knows as much about the Bible as I do. But I'm telling you this, they're going to accuse us of being judgmental and self-righteous only because they see us making righteous judgments. Don't defend them. As long as your judgment comes out of the Word of God, don't defend it. Let the Word of God defend it. Matter of fact, that's going to be your testimony if you live by the Word of God.
Amen.
That you're judgmental and you're self-righteous. Look at this. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Oh my goodness. Rest. Wait. There have been times in my Christian life when I've been attacked, I've been lied on and accused and slandered, and sometimes I probably deserve some of it. But I'm going to tell you this, every time I tried to fight it, it only made it worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. When I learned how to rest in the Lord, He took care of it.
Amen.
And by the way, God will take care of it.
Yes.
Just wait. God, you'll see it happen. I guarantee you, you'll see it happen. God will take care of those people. He'll do it. And then He says this, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily money. It means the way that that person's living. They're not sick. They're not dying. They're keeping a job. It looks like they're doing all right. Looks like their family's doing all right. You understand? Prospereth in his way, the way he's living, see. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You say, you ever heard this? I don't know why God lets them live. I don't know why God don't strike her dead. You ever heard that?
Yeah,
we might have said it sometime. Clinton, you ever said, they better be glad I ain't God. Amen. That's the truth. But you rest in the Lord. You wait patiently for Him. You don't fret thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger.
Amen.
Now the Bible says you can anger. It said anger, but don't let the sun go down your wrath. Don't sin. In other words, don't let your anger turn into hate. Hate is sin. Anger is not sin. How many of y'all got children? Raise your hand. How many times they ever made you mad, angry? Amen. Well, you didn't sin. You should have got angry. Amen. You should have got angry. Just control that wrath. Don't stay mad and don't hate. Wait on the Lord. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any way wise to do evil. I'm gonna be honest with you. During my Christian life, things have happened to me. People's happened to me. And I went and prayed and said, God, I don't know why you let these people live. Seriously, I prayed that. I don't know why you let these people live. They hate me. They hate God's people. They hate the church. They destroy everything they touch. They break hearts. They break people. They're useless. You'll just get them out of the way. Lord, and I pray this, Lord, if you ain't going to save them, just get rid of them, you know. And we've all done that kind of stuff. Amen?
Yeah.
If you're very old, you have. But he says don't do that. Now, verse 9, why? Why don't you do all that? For evildoers shall be cut off. They're going to die. They're going to be gone. Look at this. But those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Now that's the saved ones. We wait on the Lord. We wait on His return. We wait on the salvation He's promised us. But these evildoers, they have an end.
The wages of sin is still death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die.
Yes.
Hey, that's still the penalty. Inflation doesn't affect it. Doesn't change it 1 hour. American laws don't change that. American politicians can politic till they turn blue in the face, and they still can't change that. People that are wicked and evil will be cut off. And by the way, most of them live short lives. I don't mean everybody that died young was wicked, but it does mean that the wicked certainly shorten their lives, because by obeying the Lord's commands, you'll always live longer. Now listen to this. Verse 10. For yet a little while. Yet a little while. You see that? And the wicked shall not be. It ain't going to be long. There's not going to be any wicked people here. We're going to inherit the earth. He said, for yet a little while. Now, how long is a little while? Well, if a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years were a day, this was just written 2 days ago. Just a little while, Brother Gary. It wasn't long ago this was written. Now, whether it's another 1,000 years or another day, I don't know. But I know this, he promised it won't be long. They'll all be cut off. Not only from life, but from heaven and God and all that's good and all that's holy, and they'll be cast in the lake of fire. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Now, I want you to think about this. There's people who've been coming in and out of your lives, and my lives, and the world, and government, and even church members sometimes. But in a little while, he said, I want you to diligently consider the place he sat. And it's going to be empty. Now go ahead and let the devil roar and let the world attack and let those Judases turn on you and all that stuff. But one day you'll look over and that seat will be empty and you'll still be here. But the meek shall inherit the earth. And delight them shall delight themselves in the abundance of what?
Peace.
Now as a child of God, we don't want to fight. That's called meekness.
Yes.
I don't want to fight. I don't like to fight. I don't even like to argue. Every church I've ever been in, I told my pastor, and every church I've ever been in, I served, I worked. And I tell my pastor, because you know, pastors are kind of wary of other preachers joining church because they'll lead a rebellion if you don't watch out.
Yes.
And that's happened here before. But I always told the pastor, I said, Pastor, I'm here to help. I'm here to help. But if there ever comes a time where I disagree with you enough scripturally, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to lead a revolt. Me and my family will just quietly slip away because God gave you this church. It's not my church. And I'm not here to straighten you or anybody else out. I'm here to help. If it gets to the point where I can't help with a good conscience, then I'll go somewhere else. I will not destroy your church. But I've had them come in, we've had them come in here, and boy, that was their goal when they walked in the door. Yeah, when they walked in the door. My wife got so mad one day, she said, Ron, if there's a nut within 100 miles, he'll find Ron Roddy. Wait a minute, Belinda's the only one that ain't laughing. And why are you laughing? But that's the truth. Go ahead. Let the lion roar and let the devil fight. But I got news for you. Trust the Lord. Wait patiently.
Yes.
Do good.
Yes.
Do right. Love others.
Yes.
Let him put his desires in your heart, and that will always make you meek. There's a preacher right here in this town. Of course, he ain't got about 5 people left. Carries a pistol everywhere he goes. He pulled his pistol out and laid it up on the counter one day and preached with his pistol laying there to warn people. There was another one. I hope he's in heaven now. He's dead. But he used to carry two Bibles that thick. If I called his name, some of you would know it. You probably wouldn't know what I'm fixing to tell you. He carried two Bibles that thick. And I asked him, why do you carry two Bibles? He was an famous evangelist back in the 50s and 60s. Famous Baptist evangelist. He carried two Bibles that thick. And I said, why do you carry two Bibles? And he opened up one. And he said, this is the Word of God. And he opened up one, this other, and he had a hole cut in it just big enough to put a pistol. And he pulled out and he said, this is what I defend myself with. There's one down in Lancaster. He's still there. His church is about gone, but he's still there. He's about 90 years old now. But they said he took his shoe off one day and he got a hammer and a nail and he drove a nail through that shoe into the pulpit and he said, I'm here to stay. You'll leave. I'll never leave. He's still there. They all gone. I mean, that's not meekness. Amen? Does that sound meek to you? Amen. Look, if you ever vote me out here, I'm not going to fight with you. We'll go down the street and rent another building and start another one. We'll call it Cornerstone Baptist Church number 2. Amen. I'm not carrying signs. I'm not. I don't have any defensive speeches. I don't display any proof of my Christianity. I don't have any fists to hurl. I just trust and obey. That's all I'm gonna do.
Amen.
Jesus looked at his own disciples, those 12, and he looked down one day. And said, "Will you desert me also?"
Yeah.
The devil got in his church. Now look at this, verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth.
Yes.
Now, that don't mean literally biting them, but it means this. I hate him. I hate her. I can't stand her. You ever see people do that?
Yeah.
I have. Full of the devil. That's what that is. Full of the devil himself. That's not meekness. That's not the way Christians do it. Amen? Amen, amen. And most of all of you have been attacked. If you haven't been, you are being. Some of you don't know it. The world's attacking you and the government's attacking you. And probably there's some little group standing behind your back right now talking bad about you, gnashing on you with their teeth. Look at this. Verse 13. My last verse. I love it. I love this verse. The Lord shall laugh at him. Huh. The Lord said, huh, go ahead, gossip gal, go ahead, talk bad about my children, go ahead, lie on them, go ahead, exaggerate, go ahead, look at the second part of that verse, for he seeth that his day's coming. Go ahead, your day's coming. Go ahead, gnash on my men. Go ahead, gnash on my man. I love that man. Jesus died for that man. Go ahead, attack him. Go ahead, but your day's coming.
Yeah.
Our family's being attacked. Yours is being attacked. The world is attacking your family. If you don't want to see that, that's fine with me, but I see it happening. Your marriage is being attacked. It is. I see it. Amen. I see it. Look here. Your testimony is being attacked. Your faith is being attacked. Your Bible is being attacked. Your church is being attacked. We don't know who done it. It was anonymous. Sister Lily named somebody. She said, I know who done it. I know who done it. She said, I know who done it. I ain't ashamed to tell you. She told me. I got a letter one day and I went to the office. It was from the county. I opened it up and it's this big long letter and it said we'd been making changes on the grounds and the property and that a neighbor had complained because of the water drainage and us increasing parking lot size and all this stuff, you know. And it says a neighbor. and because of water drainage. Well, I looked up here, this neighbor's 6 feet above this building, so I know it ain't running that way. I look at these neighbors back here, they're about 2 feet above our building. I know it ain't running that way. I've been here when it rained. I know which way it's running. And it's running that way, but it's uphill. And even if it got uphill down there at the other end of the lot, everybody over there is dead. They're not going to care about it. There's a cemetery back there. And then on this side, there's a street. And we got a drainage pipe down there that the county put in when they built that street. And so I thought, well, maybe we'd drown in those people right there. So I went up there and I followed that dry creek bed under that road down behind those houses for a quarter of a mile. There's a big old giant pond down there and people look real proud of their pond. They built the houses all around it. And I thought, well, our little bit of water ain't going to hurt that. I told Lily that. She said, ain't none of those people. I know who it is. They left this church mad. They got mad every time we had a meeting. They're just mad, mad, mad. I'll tell you who it is. I said, I don't even know who it is. Well, I'll tell you. She told me who it was. And then you'll have people come to your church and they'll say, oh boy, this is the greatest church and it's the friendliness, it's loveness. And boy, what a preacher. Do they say that?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, what a preacher, what a preacher, what a church, what loving people. And the moment I say you can't speak in tongues here, we have no interpreter and never will have. Oh, oh, we love this church. Woo! Oh, we love this church. And the moment I say there's no such thing as a Baptist woman pastor. Oh, and the moment I say, everybody goes to hell that's not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh! And then they go on a crusade against your church. But you know what? We'll be here. And we'll keep on doing what we do. My family has been attacked. George has been attacked. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to be meek and we're going to ignore them. And I'm not just talking about people that come here. The whole world is against us. The people we vote into office turn out to be against us. We probably got one of the greatest presidents in centuries. I mean, 100 years. But he ain't got any idea about separation of church and state and freedom of religion. He has no idea. And the laws that he's helping to get passed will hurt us. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep on preaching. We're going to keep on teaching. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on believing. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ignore every bit of that. I'm not going uptown to carry a sign. I'm not writing letters. I'm not joining a group of pastors who half of them don't believe the Bible anyway. And I'm not doing all that. I'm just going to keep on doing what I do and let the Lord take care of me. I'm going to love my wife. You can talk bad about her if you want to, but I know her better than you do. I love her. You can talk bad about my kids, and some they can talk bad about yours. But see, we love them. We don't care what they say. My last verse. You know you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. I don't expect everybody to agree with me. I wouldn't agree with you if we sit down and talked to them. I know we'd find points of disagreement. Had a wonderful lady send me a wonderful card and she said, Preacher Ron, I really love you and your family and love your preaching. I agree with you 99% of the time. I said, amen? Boy, that's a touchdown for me 99% of the time. That's a touchdown. Amen. Do you know how many preachers don't get agreed with 99% of the time? I'm a winner, man. Y'all, see if you can't get the rest of them in line, sis. But seriously, I don't hate anybody. And I can disagree with you without being disagreeable. Now, if you're a heretic and full of the devil, I'm not going to have much to do with you. But if you're an honest seeker of truth and we have misunderstandings, we can be Christians about it. do not go on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat, and any other heathen mechanism that I've left out and start a rant against somebody that hurt your little feelings. You're not helping you or them when you do that. Just keep on being a Christian. We don't belong to the association. This church does not. As long as I'm pastor, it never will be. That's all politics. That's not church. We never attend meetings that vote on whether something's right or wrong. That's already been voted on. We never attend meetings whether to nominate or agree with a political party. We vote our conscience. If you ask me, I'll tell you who to vote for. But if you want to vote for somebody else, that's your business. But we're not going to join up with any group or anything. Look, as it comes, I'm telling you, they're going to send you letters and stuff. Join us. Send us some. By the way, it's really about money. Send us some money so we can fight this one, we can fight that one. No, sir. No, sir. The Lord's going to fight them for me. And if you get mad at me and leave this church and talk bad about me, I'm going to love you anyway. Now, Brother Billy said this. We had some folks visiting, and we've got several of us have history with. He met me in the hall one night. He said, "Do you ever see a time in this church where we would vote no if somebody wanted to join church?" I said, "Yep." He said, "I do too." Now there is a time to take a stand to have peace. And you don't vote those kind of people into your church. They can come to church. They can come to church. I've told homosexuals before, I don't agree with you, I don't agree with where you live, but God loves you, come to church, you sit there, and you don't be affectionate. I've got a wife, we don't kiss at church. Now there is one lady here who kisses me at church, she sits in a wheelchair right there. And every Sunday she'll say, "Come here." She'll pull me down there. Then she goes out the door and does the same thing. But homosexuals, when I tell them, you can come, you can hear, you can be saved. We're not fighting what you do. We're preaching the gospel. We're trying to live right. If you don't want to live right, that's between you and God. But don't beat us up because we want to live right. Amen. And we're not voting a Jew to send our church to start that stuff either. And I'm going to tell you something else. Sister Mary, us older ones, we can testify to the fact those people ain't going to be around long anyway. God will take care of them. And while they're in their calamity for attacking you, God will laugh at them when they call out to Him. You come around my house jumping on my children and the dog next door jump on you, I'm not going to do anything but laugh. I won't say sick him, but I won't say stop either. I just laugh. I just want to be a Christian. I want people to love me, Brother Ron, but if they don't, that's between them and the Lord. I'm doing the best I can. Amen. And I want y'all to know, if anybody in this church ever attacks you, you come tell me. We'll do what the Bible says. We'll go to them. Amen. Because we love one another. Amen, amen, Rudy? Amen. He's seen it all. He's seen it all. We've seen everything from a letter campaign. We had one write letters and accuse people of stuff. And we couldn't figure out who it was. Rudy knew who it was. I didn't know who it was. Rudy knew who it was. Wrote me letters about these people, how bad they were and what all this stuff was. No. We're going to love one another. Now, if you need help to stand, we'll help you stand up. We will. What do they say up in New York? We got your back. But they do it like this. We got your back. So we do it like this. We got your back. I love this church. I love these people. Amen?
Amen.
That one that said I was not a good preacher, something said amen while God didn't hear no amen on that one. You young people, let me know. Listen, you don't have to join a gang. This is a good gang right here.
Amen.
Don't let those people intimidate you. You hear me? Don't let those people intimidate you. I got your back. We'll go over and do some things. We'll preach. We'll witness. Did you know, I've seen that right there bring the strongest men to their knees right there. I preached in prison, seen big old tattooed, mean, tough guys stand there and hold the back of that pew while I was giving the invitation, weep and cry. I've seen some of them come forward and just weep themselves into the lap of Jesus Christ. Hey, the Word of God will stand for us. And if we can get